Good morning again. I have a few things leading up to the sermon. First, I just wanted to, this is what I want to do. I realized this week that I am beginning my fourth year with all of you. Thank you. I'll just continue. What I have to say is that I am more in love with each of you today than the day we met. So I am so grateful to be a part of this community. Very grateful. Okay, so the other thing is that I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. I will be continuing my education in Manchester, England, and I am grateful that a part of a pastor's compensation in the United Methodist Church includes continuing education. So I am grateful that I'm able to do that with that. And so be praying for me, and I will be praying for you. It's going to be great while I'm gone. Next week, Ted is going to preach on Harold and the Purple Crayon. I mean, how can we get any better than that? And then the following week, we have J.J. Warren coming and talking about, I don't remember what he's talking about, but he's great too. So don't rest while I'm gone. Keep coming. And I'm going to be trying to put something on Facebook daily or every other day so you can keep up with what I'm doing. And then finally in this part, I just want to mention to you that our theme is Imagine the People of God. And all I could think about when I heard this theme was John Lennon's song, Imagine. Does anyone remember this song? All right. So I asked Danny McGowan to sing that sometime during this series, and I'm very excited that he will be singing that later today. And then he's also going to sing a song by Bob Dylan, Blowin' in the Wind. And so with this song, some of the words in Imagine, as I looked more closely, say, imagine no heaven or hell. I'm just going to say that to me, and you all can interpret it anyway, but to me that means God's kingdom come. When God's kingdom is here on earth, there is no heaven or hell, there is just God. So I'm just giving you that translation, so when you hear it later, you can come up with your own or buy into mine. So today's theme is compassion. I'd like to dig in deep on this one. We seem to have compassion here. We do many really good things. Our outreach is awesome. We even signed on to the Charter for Compassion. And if you want to remember what it says, it's right outside in our entrance in and out of the building over here on the wall. So let's talk about something that's hard to talk about. Compassion for those affected by mental illness. I believe churches need to talk about the hard stuff. So today we'll talk about this challenging topic. The truth is we are all affected by mental illness. We may have a mental illness. We may love someone with a mental illness. We may care for someone with a mental illness. We may go to church with someone with a mental illness. We might even interact in everyday life with someone with a mental illness. And so I'm thrilled because as I was looking through some videos, I found one that was Mr. Rogers in 1969 talking about how to talk about feelings to children. And so I'm going to show the video, but what I realized is he's very soft-spoken, sweet man, and so you're going to have to listen really, really hard.
Mr. Rogers is certainly one of the best things that's ever happened to public television, and his Peabody Award is testament to that fact. We in public television are proud of Fred Rogers, and I'm proud to present Mr. Rogers.
As the inner drama of childhood, we don't have to bop somebody over the head to make him, to make drama on the screen. We deal with such things as getting a haircut or the feelings about brothers and sisters. and the kind of anger that arises in simple family situations. And we speak to it constructively. This is what I give. I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he is unique. I end the program by saying, "You've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are." And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health.
Mr. Rogers talked about compassion, acknowledging we are all special, and expressing feelings is okay. What a wonderful contribution to our culture and to children. So let's talk about some numbers. Here are some statistics on mental illness from NAMI's website. NAMI stands for National Alliance for Mental Illness. It's a wonderful organization for those with mental illness and offers family members support. So here is some statistics on children. 1 in 5 children ages 13 to 18 have or will have a serious mental illness. 50% of all lifetime cases of mental illness begin at age 14 and 75% by age 24. The average delay between onset of symptoms and interventions is 8 to 10 years. 37% of students with mental health conditions age 14 and older drop out of school, the highest dropout rate of any disability group. 70% of youth in state and local juvenile justice systems have a mental illness. And suicide is the third leading cause of death in youth ages 10 to 24. 90% of those who died by suicide had an underlying mental illness. And this is just general facts about Americans. 43.8 million adults experience mental illness in any given year. Approximately 10.2 million adults have reoccurring mental health and addiction disorders. Have co-occurring mental health and addiction disorders. Approximately 26 of homeless adults staying in shelters live with serious mental illness. Approximately 24% of state prisoners have a recent history of mental health conditions. And down to treatment, nearly 60% of adults with mental illness didn't receive mental health services in the previous year. Nearly 50% of youth aged 8 to 15 didn't receive mental health services in the previous year. And this is multicultural, so it's hitting all cultures living in the United States. Mental health affects everyone, regardless of culture, race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation. LGBTQ individuals are 2 or more times more likely as straight individuals to have a mental health condition. 11% of transgender individuals reported being denied care by mental health clinics due to bias or discrimination. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth are 2 to 3 times more likely to attempt suicide than straight youth. And there's a whole bunch of critical issues on the bottom: less access to treatment, less likely to receive treatment, poor quality of care, higher levels of stigma, culturally insensitive healthcare system, language barriers, lower rates of health insurance. So this is all on NAMI's website if you want to look more into these statistics. But what I want to highlight is NAMI's helpline. They have a 1-800 number, 1-800-950-NAMI, And what I really like is that for, I'm thinking of youth especially, you can now text NAMI for help. You can text them instead of having a conversation. If you're thinking of harming yourself, you can have a texting conversation, which may sound strange to some of us, but the youth, this is how they communicate. And so you would text NAMI to 741-741, and those are all national things. So we, what's that? N as in Nancy, A, M as in Margaret, I as in Igloo. As we reflect on these statistics in a compassionate and spiritual way, let's look at two passages asking, what would Jesus do? Jesus was a healer. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34, Jesus heals two blind men. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly ordered them, "Be quiet." But they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called to them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately, they regained their sight and followed him. Jesus healed because of his compassion. Luke chapter 14, verses 3 through 5, and Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" Why would Jesus ask this question about a child or an ox? He was speaking of compassion, asking them to act through compassion all days. Here's a quote from Mother Teresa that leads me through my many troubles. "I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things." Many times this quote is used when we talk about outreach. It also works as we not only offer compassion, but it speaks to how prayer changes us. Miracles do happen. And sometimes the miracles come when we search for new ways of healing when we have mental illness, or new ways of interacting with people living with mental illness. Let's not get too far from our theme, imagine the people of God. Community can and should be a part of healing when compassion resides within community. So let us imagine the people of God with compassion, especially the people of God living with mental illness. Whether we decide as individuals or as a congregation to advocate for those living with mental illness in regard to homelessness, incarceration, suicide prevention, access to proper health care, and health care providers, it all begins and ends with compassion. I'd like to end where we began, with Scripture. Philippians 2:5, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Healing, loving, speaking up when needed, and filled fully with compassion. Amen.